We pray. Merciful Lord, shine the brightness of your gospel into the dark recesses of our hearts. Be our life, our light, our reason for living, our comfort in dying. Come with your abiding presence, your glorious gospel peace, and fill us to overflowing that we might live for you in time and for all eternity. In Christ our Savior, amen. How long do you warn your child that the trouble they're getting in will only come to a terrible end? How long do you warn them before you finally just give up? Isn't it neat that God never gave up on the Old Testament Israelites? He certainly could have. In frustration, he could have just washed them clean from the face of the earth. But no, not only did he not give up, he kept on preaching his word to them. And he actually bent over backwards to go out of his way through his prophets to give them visual illustrations of what he was talking about. And yet they still wouldn't listen. He so wanted to drive home his precious truths, but they had hearts of stone and cared little to listen to him and less to believe him. And so the punishment God had planned for them, he poured out on them until they would finally repent. These days, America is listening to the word of God less and less. And somehow they think that's going to have a happy ending for them. For all of America's talk about being spiritual, they become more and more pagan. And that does not promise a bright and shining future. But what about you and me? Do we have ears to hear what our Lord is speaking to us? Do we have hearts to believe and trust what he lays out as reality? Do we hear what Jeremiah the prophet is telling the people so long ago and the people today? God can do with us whatever he wants. Wow. Does that send a shiver up your spine? Ooh, is that uncomfortable? God can do with us whatever he wants. And according to his law message, he comes and tells us that there's a curse for not obeying the law and that he has prepared disaster for us. So repent. But he also comes with his gospel, his sweet good news of his love and favor. And he also says that he has prepared salvation for us. Believe it and reform. In our text this morning, a rather strange thing happens. God sends Jeremiah down to a potter's house, to a person who makes clay pots. Envision that, if you will. The potter sitting at his potter's wheel with a clump of clay there, and he's trying to fashion it with his hands. His whole goal is to make a beautiful wine pitcher for the king. And just as he's fluting it up, it all collapses in his hands and down onto the wheel and becomes this grotesque mess. What should the potter do? Would we charge the potter with some crime if he punched the clay, if he twisted the clay, if he scooped it up and slammed it down, and if he even changed his mind and said, instead of a wine pitcher, I think I'll make a bedpan out of this clay? Or maybe to scrape the whole clay off, throw it away, and start with a better batch of clay. Would we say, oh, potter, you can't do that to that poor clay? Has he committed some crime? Was it not his clay? Can he not do with it as he sees fit? Well, God isn't just giving us a lesson on making pots. We are the clay. He is the potter. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, or destroyed, and if that nation that I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in the sight, in my sight, and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you. Wow. Stern words on this Reformation Sunday. Isn't it remarkable how the Old Testament Israelites and modern America are so similar? Hard clay in the potter's hand. Whatever is he to do? Our nation spews out lies on top of lies. Lies that contradict every commandment that has come from the mouth of God, trying to nullify it so that we can live our own lives. The lies of this world and our nation. Oh, we should be able to live whatever lives we want. We should be able to do whatever we want. We should be able to think and say whatever we want. After all, it's our life, our bodies, our time, isn't it? We don't have to answer to anyone. Our society preaches the sermon, oh, don't let anyone stop or hinder or constrain you in any way. And then our society wonders why no one has a moral compass these days. Because it's destroyed it. In this nation's sick little mind, it believes that just because I say it, God should agree with it. He should just buy into whatever seems good to me. Do you see how there's a reversal of roles there? Our nation and our sinful flesh want us to be the potters and God to be the pot, free for us to mold and shape in whatever way that pleases us. And if it doesn't work, well, just get rid of them and start over with a brand new God. What blasphemy lurks in the hearts and souls of people? But the reality is, God is not a fool. There will be a judgment day. Not for a moment has God ever ceased being the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth. All things are still under his control and are beckoning to his call. But God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to faith and be saved for all eternity. But it's wise for us not to confuse patience with weakness. God is not weak. Israel would not accept God's truth. So God prepared a disaster for them called the Babylonians. And God is faithful to his word. He does not make threats and not follow through. But we live in America. America is proud of such things that we can't even talk about in public because little kids are listening. And they revel in them and rejoice in them. Isn't it interesting? We look at ISIS, and through our American eyes, we see godless barbarians who are power-hungry and bloodthirsty and just downright cruel and evil. Oh, how God will deal with them as they stand before his throne. But have you ever thought, what does ISIS see when they look at America? Do they see the land of the free and the brave? Or do they see the land of godless prostitution by all of its people. A nation that is pleasure hungry, drug crazed, money driven, and they renounce our evils. I wonder, will God's verdict on America be any sweeter than God's verdict on ISIS? Or do we fall under the same condemnation as a nation? Hard hearts and deaf ears. But what about each and every one of us? How does God's word settle into our hearts and reform our lives and gives us wisdom, love, and hope? Or do we have deaf ears also? Are we sometimes buying into our world's culture that my sins aren't so bad? They certainly aren't as bad as others. God will tolerate my little sins and that stuff as long as I have a good excuse for them. It's okay for me to lie, it's just not okay for the other. It's okay for me to be mean, just not the other. It's okay for me to hold a grudge or lust or covet or break any of God's commandments. After all, I'm his child, isn't he? And somehow God just puts up with bad behavior from his children? God says through Jeremiah, "So turn from your evil ways, each one of you." He calls for repentance. Which sins in our life is God offended by? All of them. Whether we want to count them as little and insignificant or not. What are the sins in our life? Oh, our guilty conscience will show us where they're lurking. God's word will ferret them out. And God says on this Reformation Sunday, repent. God holds us in the palm of his hand. He can do with us whatever he wants. What is it he wants? What does he want to do with us? In his heart of hearts, he's planned salvation for us. He wants us to believe it with all of our heart and soul and to reform our lives to please him. Turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. Interesting. Do you hear Jesus' salvation implied in those words? It's there. Because for us to simply just in and of itself turn from our wickedness, that would in no way, shape, or form save us. You see, if I acknowledge and renounce the sins I have been committing, am I not also acknowledging that I have been a sinner and sinning? And no sinner has eternal life. We cannot, as sinners, stand before a holy and just God and expect anything but his condemnation. We must be pure in his sight. And that purity we cannot make on our own because we are sinners. And that's where Jesus' plan of salvation comes in. He has come to save us from who we are and what we've done. Remember, we can go back way to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had sinned, and they stood there before their God, convicted of their sin, and totally helpless to change their situation in any way, shape, or form. And then for the first time, by human ears, God's plan of salvation was heard. That he would send the seed of the woman to crush the serpent's head, that God himself would come and redeem mankind. He would work salvation, a salvation that was outside of Adam and Eve, a salvation that they could not even participate in doing, and would be given to them only through faith. Even as Jeremiah is talking to these Israelites, does it not imply that repent of your sins, that slavery, captivity under the hand of the Babylonians doesn't have to be how this story ends? But if you repent, I will relent and restore you and save you, not only from the Babylonian army, but from your own wickedness that threatens to send you to hell. And yet they would not. And so also on this Reformation Sunday, we stand back and we look how God blessed the world and blessed his church during the time of Martin Luther by unleashing his word onto the world that had been so hidden, and how hearts and lives and homes and the whole Christian church was reformed and turned around and strengthened by the power of God's word being preached in its truth and purity. And we rejoice at what God did. Oh, that God's word might once again be unleashed on American soil, proclaimed in all of its glory, that his law and gospel might capture more and more hearts and lives and reform everything. But also in our hearts and lives. We who have been privileged to know it all these years, what would God change? Where does God call us to repent? How do we have that power to repent? Oh, you know the days that are stretched out before us, huh? It won't be too long and we'll be gathered around Jesus' manger once again, pondering Christ come down in human flesh, the true meaning of Christmas. And for us, God would become one of us. And it won't be long before we're gathered around Christ's cross on Calvary and see God take his last breath so that we would be released from the curse. He became a curse for us. And we will hold our breath until another Easter morning when we'll see our Savior rise in victory, all to sign, seal, and deliver paradise to you and me. That's what moves us to renounce our sins and to cling to his forgiveness. That is what wins us for the day and makes us the very children of God. That is what turns our attention to what needs to be reformed in our hearts and lives. What is it in us that still offends our God? Oh, that he might give us a holy repulsion for all sins, but especially for our sins, that they might be as displeasing in our mouth as they are in his. And may he once again revive our hearts, empower us with his loving forgiveness, that salvation has been won. And may that reform us through and through, that our goal in life may be to please him and not ourselves, to live in the light of his word, to know his word from cover to cover, that he might have his way with us. God can do with us whatever he wants. In our ears, does that sound like God threatening us? Or in our ears, does it sound like us surrendering our lives to his will? God can do whatever he wants to with us. But do we pray, God, do whatever you want with us and in us and through us? For you are good and gracious, loving, merciful, and kind. You have nothing but good in store for your children. Oh, Lord, we are in your hands. Do whatever is good and pleasing in your sight. Shape us, bend us, push us, twist us, fashion us into a wonderful pot in service to the King of Kings. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Dear Lord, our times are in your hands. Bless us and fill us to overflowing. In this dark world, may your light shine ever brighter in our hearts and souls and minds. Wrap us in your arms of forgiveness and grace, dear Lord, and carry us from day to day, that as the angels sing your praises on high, we might be filled with songs of joy and peace here on earth. Bless us and move us by the power of your word. In Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.